Last week we heard about what it means to follow Christ. This week we think a little bit about what it means to be sent. In our first reading, we see some challenges around being sent, some difficulties we can run into. In our gospel reading, we hear Jesus give some directions, some clarity about what being sent looks like. And we also get to hear about the disciples, these harvesters who are sent out to come back with joy and to see the demons submit to them even. And so there's these sort of highlights in being sent. And yet they too have challenges. They too struggle and with this notion of Jesus restricting what they can have access to. They can't take a purse, a bag, a satchel, a sandals, anything along with them. They too have challenges in being sent, and they hear that they are sent out like lambs into the midst of wolves. So we know it's a hard thing to be sent, just as it's a hard thing to follow as we should, it's a hard thing to be sent as we should. And our first reading, the story of Naaman, shows us some of the ways we can get off track in being sent. The first is that we can get the directions wrong. That Naaman is told very clearly, you must go to the prophet of Israel if you're going to receive healing. And he goes and tells the king about this, and his king sends him to the king of Israel, which of course doesn't work. And the king of Israel recognizes this. I can't cure this man. This other guy's trying to pick a fight with me. And that's because the directions are off. Thankfully, Elisha steps in and says, no, it's the prophet. It's me you need to see. Come this way. But we know what this is like in our lives as well. God can give us some directions, can say, this is where I'm calling you. And then we go and tell other people about it. And we say, hey, this is what I heard God say. And they say, oh my goodness, yes, that's wonderful. I will tell you exactly where you should go. And then we can get off track because we've listened to them instead of following the initial direction that God has given us of where we should head. All right, so that's one challenge. The next challenge is that we may not like the message that we are given. This is what Naaman experiences as well when Elisha sends word that he's to wash in the Jordan 7 times. And Naaman says, I had some expectations about how this was supposed to go. The prophet was supposed to come out, wave his hands over my spot, and cure me in a big dramatic way worthy of me. This washing in the Jordan business seems small, insignificant, and mundane. Couldn't I wash in the Pharpar or the Arbana, these rivers of Damascus that are greater than the Jordan, and be clean? Well, yes, you can wash in them, but they will not make you clean of leprosy. It will require doing what God has asked you to do. But we can also push back on these messages that are given to us. We can also push back and say, Lord, this doesn't really mesh with my understanding of how things should work. These aren't my expectations. I think we should look around for something better, Lord. I want to go a different route, a different direction. And God says, no, this is the message. You must follow it. And I imagine this is similar to what the disciples are feeling as well. As they hear from Jesus, this message that they are called to carry, that is to be a challenging one, when they can't provide for themselves in advance, that doesn't probably make sense to them. There's probably what they would think of as better paths that could be taken here. And that they want to just be able to maybe even go and talk along the way to others on the road and try to get a sense of, well, where should I stay and who's a good place in this town that I'm visiting, and Jesus takes that option off the table as well. We are not to greet anyone on the road. You are simply to go, to share that the kingdom of God has come near, to pronounce peace, and to offer healing. Which, of course, then highlights, I think, another challenge we have with being sent, which is we would like some more details. If we're going to be staying with people for multiple days, I would like a little bit longer script than just to say the kingdom of God has come near. I would prefer to have a greater understanding of what this message is to be. And I think this is the challenge we continue to have as well as we seek to wrestle with the ways in which God sends us into the world. We may see the same thing with Paul's letter to the Galatians, where he gives some clear directives about what it means to be sent into the world as baptized children of God, as those who are living by the Spirit. And he says that means you're going to sow to the Spirit and harvest from the Spirit. You're going to bear one another's burdens, and you are going to carry your own load. I would like some more details, Paul, about what all those look like. And in fact, some of them seem outright contradictory to each other. And when Paul says, well, this is what you should do, instead of elaborating further, he then says, but I'll tell you what you shouldn't do. You shouldn't focus on circumcision. You shouldn't focus on the works of the law. Don't do that. There's other people who are going to tell you to do that. Don't listen to them. So instead of giving us the details that we want, Paul actually introduces another wrinkle here of this whole being sent business. And that is the notion that other people are sent. And that these other people who are sent have a message, and they may or may not be accurate. That there are some people who are sent to us who we shouldn't listen to, and others who are sent who we should. So now not only do we have to think about our own message and how we are sent into the world, we also have to be discerning those other folks who are sent to us and the messages that they are saying. Well, how do we do that? I think Jesus gives us an inkling of an answer today in our gospel reading as he says to the disciples, those who listen to you, listen to me. And those who reject you, reject me and reject the one who sent me. And in short, what Jesus is saying is when we hear a message, we must listen deeply to see if Jesus is behind it. Now, I would prefer to have it be as clear as when the disciples were sent out who can say, we just talked to Jesus. This is what he told us. And here you go. We don't always get that level of clarity. And in fact, there are times even those who say they are telling us what Jesus has said aren't telling us what Jesus has said. And so it does require some deep, deep listening to say, is this a message that Christ is sharing with us through this messenger? And it also calls us to, as messengers, only share those messages that Christ has shared with us. That we cannot present what we think as if Jesus had shared it with us. Because then they're not listening to Jesus, they're listening to us. And woe to us if we try to present ourselves as if we are Christ. That's going to be a recipe for disaster as well. So we, in turn, are just called to bear the message that God has given us. We must adhere to that and not expand upon it, not go in different directions than what God has given us. We must share that message. No matter what it is, no matter how nonsensical it may seem to us, that is the message we have been given. It is the message we must share. And as we do this, we will see some amazing things happen. We will see a God who can bring about healing, restoration, and wholeness, can do great and mighty works with small and insignificant details. This is what Naaman himself experiences. He goes and he listens to what God has said. He washes in that Jordan 7 times, and he is cleansed. His skin is restored. The disciples go and do what Jesus has said, and they come back rejoicing because they see that the demons have submitted to them, that people have been healed. They have seen God's deeds of power at work in their lives and in them and through them, and they are amazed. And you know, this is wonderful. And as they share this with Jesus, Jesus says, yes, this is truly wonderful, but don't focus there. Don't get caught up in the deeds that you see being done. Don't get up in the God's mighty works and power as wonderful as these things are. What I want you to focus on is the fact that God has called you to be a messenger. That God wants to work with you, has loved you, has redeemed you. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That's your focus, Jesus tells us. This is what gives us our center as messengers in the world. And then there's more. I think Paul is trying to help us have the same focus here today, the same focus on Christ alone. As he talks about his own desire to only boast in the cross of Christ, that he says it's only as we bear one another's burdens that we fulfill the law of Christ. And so Christ is the central way, the central one through whom we can understand these other elements of being sent that Paul is describing. That we only know what it means to bear one another's burdens, to sow and reap to the Spirit, and to carry our own load as we begin to position ourselves in such a way that we look at the cross of Christ first. And so what is Paul's point about that? Well, he's saying if we go other routes, if we try to use the law or circumcision or things to the flesh, we are diminishing the cross of Christ because we are trying to assert our own efforts, our own work, in place of what Christ has done already. Because it's not our labor that saves us or others. It is Christ's sacrificial act on the cross where Jesus goes through suffering and death that we may know healing, restoration, and life eternal. That we have to remember this is what Christ was sent into the world for, was to accomplish this level of restoration and redemption. And it's remembering how Jesus was sent that we can understand in turn how we are to be sent. We too are to follow this example and to be sent in ways where we can lay down ourselves to help others encounter the good news of God's love and grace, that we too will be willing to bear one another's burdens as we seek to make this love of God known. But that also means we have to carry our own load, as Paul tells us. And this can seem a little counterintuitive, which is why I think we have some concrete examples of what this looks like in our first reading today. We have this Israelite girl who kicks off our whole story because the Arameans have gone on a raid. They've been warring with Israel, by the way. And they capture this girl and they make her a servant or a slave of Naaman's wife. And she could be bitter about this. She can be upset with this commander who has harmed the people of Israel. But instead of seeing herself as a slave, seeing herself only as the servant, she sees herself as a messenger. I have been sent here to notice this person who has this issue, this leprosy that he is dealing with, and in compassion for him, I will tell him a way to be healed. I have been sent to proclaim the healing and restoration that the God of Israel can provide. And so she seeks to bear the burden of Naaman in this way, out of love, out of compassion for him. But of course, she also knows that she cannot fulfill that burden. She can't be the one to heal, but she can tell him where he can go. Go to the prophet in Israel who will connect you to the God of Israel who will heal you completely, totally. We then see an example in the Kings of what it looks like to try to bear loads that are not our own. That the king of Israel is very clear, I cannot do this. I can't heal this man. It is beyond me. This is a burden that lies beyond me. And if I try to carry that load, I will fail. And that is accurate. He needs that perspective. But what he forgot to add is that there is a God who can carry that load. And that is who he is to connect Naaman to. Finally, we see Naaman recognizing how he is called to carry a load of going to wash 7 times. And that this will be the way through which God will carry his burden of leprosy for him. And he can reject that and go back home and not carry his own load to accomplish this. Or he can do what God has asked, as he does, and see the ways in which God will in turn then carry this burden for him. And so in these examples, I think we get a sense of what it means to carry one another's burdens, to bear one another's burdens, where we reach out to our brothers and sisters in love and compassion as we seek to make known the love of God for them. And we see what it means to carry our own load, which is to listen deeply, to follow what God would share with us, and to listen to all that is our responsibility that God is giving to us, and then releasing the rest of it. That we are not to carry more than our load either. And I think our load is comprised of 2 elements. Part of it is our neighbor's burden, and part of it is our own burden. And in all honesty, our whole load is not any of those burdens in their entirety. I cannot carry all of my neighbor's burden, nor can I carry all of my own. There are aspects of both that I will need to leave up to others to carry, and that I'll have to give over to God. And that this will be the faithful way in which we can bear one another's burdens in this mutual ministry and attend to our own loads in a way that allows us to know exactly what we should be carrying and to give the rest to God and to trust our brothers and sisters to help us bear whatever else is left over. And that we can do this for one another. This, of course, is a very challenging thing to do. I don't think any of us get this right even 80% of the way this side of eternity. And yet we strive for it. We strive to sow to the Spirit in this way where we can come to one another in compassion, to bear each other's burdens. We seek to carry our load, knowing what is ours and what isn't. And we seek to direct ourselves back to God, who can shape us and share with us that which we are sent to do, that we may know exactly what our limits should be. Because this is difficult, this is why we gather here, to encounter God once more, to have Christ come to us and remind us of what we need to hear, that we are strengthened and nourished and sent with this message that God has given to us to proclaim that the kingdom of God is near, to proclaim healing and wholeness for this world. That what we need to hear too is Christ's reorientation that says, as you encounter the world around you, as you see things that occur either through your message or through other people's messages, know that your joy is to come from your name being written in heaven. And let's be as clear as we can be. We need that reorientation, whether we've had a week like Naaman, or we've been frustrated and upset that things haven't matched our expectations and haven't worked out the way that we wanted them to. And we need that reorientation if we have been the disciples who have seen God at work and have witnessed God's miracles and wanting to get distracted by those and saying, wow, isn't this great? Even then, we need to be recentered on where our true joy comes from, which is that we have been redeemed and restored through Christ. Our names are written in heaven. We have been made a new creation. That's the source of our joy. And it's through that recognition that we find ourselves nourished and sustained, sent back out to celebrate and share the love of Christ with the world. We find ourselves gathered for this feast where we can encounter Christ's loving presence once more in this bread and wine, body and blood, where we know the forgiveness of our sins, that we have been restored and redeemed. And knowing all of these things, we are then positioned to be sent out in such a way that we can bear one another's burdens and carry our own loads, recognizing all that God has done for us and for our neighbors and the ways in which God is inviting us to relate to one another in compassion and life-giving, life-restoring ways. And as we go with this perspective, as we go to bear the message that Christ has given us to share with this world, we will see some amazing and wonderful things. We will recognize God's power at work in, among, and through us. And as we bear witness to these things, as we see what God is up to in the world, we will not be able to help ourselves but cry out along the way as we go on our journey, "Thanks be to God." Amen.